The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Dak Prescott. He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
Ma, we love and miss you. Jeannie Rose, rest in power. We get a people! What they want.
Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Cowboys, got what he wanted. A four-year, roughly $160 million deal. Jalen, what do you think about this landmark signing for Dak and the Cowboys?
That it wasn't just for the Cowboys, and it wasn't just for the Prescott family. This was for the culture. And I can't front, I love Demetrius and our team that started the show with Go Tell It on the Mountain, because that's an old Negro spiritual. And the reason why that's so very important, and it kind of gave me goosebumps to start the show, is because people that look like us in sports and entertainment, we don't get the opportunity to be overpaid. However, we get the opportunity to be overqualified, and that's what Dak has been his last few years. He basically made $12 million in four seasons playing starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. They got the discount. When Wentz got paid, when Goff got paid, that was their chance to take care of him. They didn't do it. So we banter back and forth about Dak's worth. Let me tell everybody something. In life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you have the leverage to negotiate. So when it's time for us to come to the table, don't hit me with the how many playoff games he won, how many Super Bowl rings he won, because here's the thing. As a Detroit Lions fan, no shots or shade, I saw Matthew Stafford take home a nice bag. I don't see nobody complaining about his playoff productivity. And I could go on and on and on throughout the league of players that I feel are overpaid. However, there ain't many that look like me that fall into that category. Dak earned this bread, and you're gonna see people like me singing, Go Tell It on the Mountain, celebrating Dak, because this is an opportunity for us to continue to break through glass ceilings.
Absolutely, and you say, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you have the leverage to negotiate. And one of the key factors that gave him leverage to negotiate this landmark deal is because they were so good with him and so bad without him last year. Remember, he only played about five games. And when you look at the difference, when he's been the starting quarterback since 2020 and everybody else, just look at the dramatic drop-off. So if you are the Cowboys and you are Jerry Jones, you're thinking, you know what? I know it's going to cost a lot, but it's worth locking him in because our options are so bad when Dak is not under quarterback, under center.
I totally agree with you. And also, the plethora of weapons that the Dallas Cowboys do have on paper. Now, if each of those individuals play up to their potential, since they're basically locked up for the next 3 or 4 years, the wide receivers and Ezekiel in the backfield, that should be something special. And now, all of a sudden, the Dallas Cowboys can see if they can truly live up to their promise with Dak Prescott at quarterback.
So the story about Dak Prescott has always been, when is he going to get his deal? And he got tagged last year, and then he got hurt, and how's that going to affect his long-term deal? Now that he has that long-term deal, how does that affect his psyche when he heads into the next season?
Here's the deal. Like, when I'm on a franchise tag, the rest of the world is like, yo, he's making top player at his position money. However, that doesn't represent long-term security. Now, when we're talking about these numbers, I'm no fool. For everybody that know, I'm from the hood. I boiled water to wash up. I ate liverwurst. I ate mayonnaise sandwiches and sugar water. I know that this is an exorbitant amount of money. But when you put it in the context of entertainment and for football, his 4-year, $160 million is the marketplace for a player that's probably considered a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. That's just the going rate. It has nothing to do with how many championships you want to win playoff games, but newsflash, it's a team game. It's a team game. And so many times I watch the Cowboys play, if they lose, not many do I walk away and say, that was Dak's fault.
That's a good point.
They're going to be fine. He's going to be fine. But one other thing, Russell Wilson will never be getting a Christmas card from the Prescott family, because those four teams being released, you threw a monkey wrench in my negotiations, dog. And if those teams, if and when those teams play, I guarantee you, that's going to be a storyline.
Well, there is a very interesting wrinkle about Russell Wilson in Seattle, right? You and I, when we first started hearing about potentially them trading him, we're like, he'll be there. He's going to be there. Well, guess what? You know, they put out like a hype letter to the season ticket holders. And in this hype letter, they mentioned all the stars. They mentioned the new run game offensive coordinator. The run game offensive coordinator's name was mentioned in this letter. And Jalen, whose name was not mentioned in this letter?
Russell Wilson and Jacoby. This goes back to the level of disrespect that comes with us when it's time for us to get paid. See, longevity at companies and in sports means two sides always find a way to negotiate and give a fair market rate. But then when we come to the table with our Deshaun Watson wanting to be involved with decision making, or Russell Wilson wanting to be protected and wanting them to invest in the offensive line, now all of a sudden, not only are you not listening to me, but you're going to flat out embarrass me and alienate me by not putting me in the video? Who else did this happen to? Oh, that's right. Dak Prescott. Didn't this just happen to Dak Prescott?
Yes, he was left out of a hype video for the Cowboys season.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're only talking about
things like this happening. Absolutely. And this is unnecessary roughness. Like, you're paying this man so much money.
Put his name in the letter.
So much equity. Correct. It's no big deal. It costs you nothing. Do you know how many emails you have to go out of your way for people to say, let's not put Russ in it. Let's put him in it. Let's not put him in it. It takes so much energy to keep your fist ball. And you know what happens like this? You can't receive blessings. You can't receive them. And so Seattle, you're playing a dirty game. You're going to own the team forever, but you're not going to own him forever. And he might play there this year, Jacoby, but the hourglass is ticking. The hourglass is ticking.
Jalen, one of the basketball players I idolized is my co-host on this program, Jalen Rose. But another one was his former teammate, Skip to My Lou, Rafer Austin. And you've said some things about him in the past. And he was in front of a microphone and he had some things to say about you.
Did Jalen Rose play in Toronto at that time?
Jalen Rose played me, man. Me and him didn't get along.
I know. That's why.
Him and I didn't get along. I love Jalen Rose as a man. Mm. He's a terrible teammate.
What's the issue
if
with
he
you?
If he don't get the ball a couple times, keep in mind the coach is calling the plays. And at that time, Chris Bosh was an up and coming star. If he ain't open, guess who's the next option? Jalen Rose. But Jalen wants the ball every time. And if he don't get the ball, he's not trying to play defense. He's not trying to do all these things. I'm sitting there. So I don't like that, man. So I showed him one day in Charlotte. I showed him.
You ain't passing the ball.
I said, yeah. And the coach brought us in a meeting. And he said, well, you purposely not pass the ball? Yes, I purposely passed the ball. Yes, I did. Yeah, I did not give him the ball. Because he insinuated this the whole year. You know what I'm saying? But I saw Jalen Rose. We was in L.A. at Katana at this restaurant. And we hugged. Because off the court, he's the greatest teammate I've probably ever been around.
Oh, Jalen, what do you think about the Jalen Rose slander and compliments that Skip to My Lou had for you?
I love Skip. And he's a legend. And what he did as a breakthrough was phenomenal. Being one of the faces of And-One, playing on the street ball circuit for years, not only being an NBA player with staying power, but also signing a huge contract when we were teammates in Toronto. And I'll tell you a secret, Jacoby. I don't detect any lies there. I don't detect any lies. What was our record? What was our record? What was our record? When you see me with a headband on and my ears covered, that means I wish I could pull it over my eyes. I just couldn't, and play at the same time. That was the mentality when I rocked that look. That look right there, you don't see players with their ears covered in their headband and rocking it like I rocked it. So I detect no lies. If we were struggling, and I'm pretty sure based on what he said in our squad, we were, yeah, I detect no lies.
I just love the part where he's like, well, if he don't get the ball, then he just stop playing defense. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like something Jalen would do. That sounds about right. But also, I like his explanation. He's like, we had Chris Bosh, and he was the second option. Like, he would just say he's a Jalen Rose, second option.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. This is how I feed my family, dog. I take this dead serious. I'm trying to win every play. I'm trying to win every possession. See, people see me as a public figure and understand that I'm like a bubbly guy and I'm a please and thank you kind of human being. But in my professional life, if I was a coach, if I was a GM, if I was an owner, if I was a teammate, I'm a vastly different human being when that score is up there and those zeros can go into my account. So I love Skip, that's my guy. And I'm just happy that he saw me at a sushi restaurant. That's what I love about the story the most. That he saw me at a sushi restaurant, and I'm pretty sure I was having hot sake.
Jalen's favorite type of restaurant, sushi restaurant. However, does not eat sushi. Jalen, joining us next. Champion. So many belts, she can't even put them on her body. That woman right
there. The champ is here.
Larissa Shields joins us right after this. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned to Jalen and Jacoby. Coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose, who is joining us on the program right now?
The champ is here. The champ is here representing Flint Town. Stand up. Clarissa Shields is joining the show. The only undisputed champion, male or female, to be a two-division champion in the four-belt era. We appreciate you joining the show. Thanks a lot, champ.
No problem. Thank God for having me.
Thank you so much for doing the show. Now, you're just coming after dominant win after dominant win. Is there anyone out there now that you want to fight next?
It's so many people, you know, wherever the most money is at. You know, we got Savannah Marshall in the UK. We got a girl named Hannah Gabriels who I fought already. And, I mean, I got a lot of fights this year because I'm also doing MMA. So, I'm all over the place.
You are that deal, and I'm a huge fan. Thank you again for joining us. But there's another fighter that hasn't been active, but I heard them throwing around some figures of what it might take to get in the ring with you. What about Layla Ali?
You know, I'm going to say that I'm not going to use this moment that I created for myself to give her any recognition. I'm a two-time division world champion, undisputed. And she was never undisputed. Mm. So congrats to her and everything that she does. But I'm an active fighter, and I'm a boxing and MMA, and I'm undisputed in two different weight classes. So, you know, good luck to everything that she got going on. But this is the Clarissa Guo Shield show, and I have nothing to say about a fight with her as she's retired and I'm active.
You are not just active, you're absolutely dominant in boxing, and you are making the transition to MMA. How is the training different? How is your strategy different? How is the approach different as you head into the octagon?
Switching to MMA is so insane. I mean, it really is. Like, I get to train with the greats like Johnny Bones and Holly Holm and work out. I'm kicking, and it makes my body feel a lot stronger. Like, I feel like I'm more of a dangerous person actually doing MMA. And I want to do it because my overall goal is to be a world champion in boxing and also be a world champion in MMA at the same time.
And that's where I was going. I was going to ask you about your ultimate goal as a fighter, because we usually don't see terrific boxing champions also go into MMA. So what, again, is your motivation behind all of this? This is really unique.
My motivation is just to be the greatest woman of all time. To be able to say that I'm already right now, pound for pound, number one female fighter in the world. I'm actually top 10 in just overall all boxing, no gender. And then when we talk about just being, then just talk about wanting to do MMA, I think that'll add great to my resume. To when I say I'm the greatest woman of all time, I'm the greatest woman of all time, and not just boxing, but also MMA. And I want to be able to show that if I can't do it, it can't be done. And I'm giving 100% effort to make sure that I go out there and be successful in both.
Well, it was International Women's Day yesterday, and I'm glad you brought up gender, because you hosted an all-female fight night. Why was it important for you to host an all-female evening?
That's dope.
It was just so important to show that it's bigger than just myself. You know, me and Marie Eve, the character, did just the card with just me and her and just fought. But I said, you know, it's National Women's Month. It's a few days before International Women's Day. Like, we need to take the opportunity to build up our whole sport and also include other women's sports, because boxing isn't the only sport that is not equal.
As Michiganders, we understand how tough it is in Detroit and in Flint. And I appreciate how you represent your city to the fullest. How has Flint Town influenced your career?
Flint is really just gave me that no quit attitude, gave me that attitude to go out there and get everything yourself, because nothing's ever going to be handed to you. That's what Flint put inside of me. So when they see me fighting with that ferociousness and with that tenacity, that's for me growing up in Flint and knowing that I got to take everything that I want. So I never go on there and have any close fights. I'm dropping girls, I'm beating them unanimous decision. I've never had a close fight in my life. So therefore it's like, Flint showed me that when you really want something, you got to go out there, and people may not open the door for you, but you just got to kick it down and you got to take what's yours.
Well, so far you've kicked down every single door in front of you as an undefeated champion, and couldn't help but notice the outfit that you had on as you were tearing apart Takeir, and that was purple and gold, which was a little sign of respect to the legacy of Kobe and Gianna Bryant. Why was that important to you?
You know, Kobe was just such a legend. You know, and his daughter was really fighting for the equal rights of women, too. She was so young. And also, you might have missed it, but I did I honor also Chadwick Boseman, because they all just meant a lot to me and just a lot to African Americans. Black Panther really gave us a reason to be like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where African Americans are at now. This is how powerful we are. And it was the number one selling movie in the world for like a few weeks. So therefore, I wanted to honor him, and I was able to meet him in person. And I also met Kobe in person, and he was so nice to me. And I think that when people think of the Mamba mentality, I feel like I have like a GOAT mentality, where it's like, you really have to train for what you want, always prepare, always be ahead of the game. And I feel like that's what Kobe left for the world, and he left for me. So I just wanted to honor him.
Wow, what a terrific attitude and a great spirit. Rest in peace, Kobe and Gigi. But I got to ask you one question before we let you get out of here. What's up with our Detroit Lions? What's up? What are we going to do? We're going to win a playoff game this year? What up, though?
I don't know. I feel like they got a good offense, just bad defense. Like they can't stop other teams. Because my dad is a diehard Detroit Lions fan from the time when they was 0-10. My dad was still yelling, "We going to the Super Bowl." So,
preach.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, so my dad is always like, we got something. So shout out to all the Detroit Lions. I actually love those guys. And I'm always going to represent Michigan regardless. So if the Detroit Lions don't get it together, know that I'll still represent for Detroit, Flint, Michigan, all that. I'll still represent for us till they get their stuff together.
Well, Detroit will at least have one champion and one undefeated athlete in Clarissa Shields. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
You can always get more with our guests on our podcast. We have exclusive content with Clarissa. You want to check that out? We'll be back with more right after this. The NBA returns to ESPN Sunday night at 9 p.m. It is the Clippers on the Pelicans in New Orleans. Don't miss that. Welcome back to Jalen Angerby. It is time for one of our signature segments. It is Soft Move or Boss Move. Featured favorite athletes, Serge Ibaka of the Clippers, I just mentioned. But he's on break now, and he's making the most of it. No shirt on, got the hookah and the hat in the pool. However, Jalen, that is not a margarita he's drinking. That is straight margarita mix. Soft move or boss move, margarita without the tequila.
He getting this hookah on as well, living his best life. But I got to teach you something as the master of fruity drinks. There is a little tequila in there. Y'all wrong. It's not a lot. But it is some tequila in that bottle. I've drank from that bottle, strawberry in particular.
Big shout out to Serge and Clarissa Shields for coming by. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN.